Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want a cup of joe with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool episode. I'm not sure, whatever. Why do we bother keep track at this point? Let's say 72.
420. That's a funny number.
It's a very funny number. With Clemmer and Rudy today, we're going to go over a couple trailers, but we're also going to do at the end of it a draft of movies from released within between 1980 and 1984. If you remember last time we had Clemmer on, we did a draft of movies from 1985 to 1989, which was very fun going down memory lane about with all those. You have a very, I would say, elaborate knowledge of 80s movies, correct?
I guess. I mean, I think 90s is probably more my, because I was born in 79. Mm-hmm. So like, I would say 80, 81,
like
82. 18,
you don't remember the 80s too much?
I mean, I do the late 80s, definitely. No, I wasn't doing blow when I was in third grade.
1879 or?
Yes, 1879, right. But yeah, you know, you had HBO in the 80s, you saw all these movies, and then obviously you go back and watch them now because just enjoy movies. Yeah. But yeah, 90s is probably my sweet spot, more than the 80s. But I mean, 80s, I was a kid, I loved it.
You had HBO in the 80s?
Oh yeah, yeah. Big time.
You're a rich kid, weren't you?
No, I mean, no. A lot of people had HBO in the 80s. And they didn't have a lot of movie licenses, so they'd play the same movies over and over and over again. Like Superman 3 would come on like three times a day.
Why Superman 3 specifically?
I just remember that one being on. They must have had a cheap deal with that. But like, there are certain movies where 80s kids will talk about it and be like, oh, that was on HBO all the time. Like,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Why not The Quest for Peace?
That was later. Yeah, so by then, like, HBO had a bigger library.
Yeah.
But like, when Superman 3 came out, they had a pretty small library. So you'd see it like, I said like three times a day easily.
Was John Cryer played Lex Luthor's kid
in 4?
In 4,
it wasn't his kid; it was his nephew.
His nephew, right. And then he played Lex Luthor in the CW show.
No, he played it in Superman Returns.
No, Superman Returns. It was Kevin Spacey.
That's right.
They wouldn't know John Cryer. He play?
He played Luthor in one of the CW shows.
Yes,
for sure.
Definitely wasn't Smallville.
No.
Smallville is Michael Rosenbaum.
It was someone else
who I think is the best live action outside of.
Jesse Eisenberg.
No.
Gene Hackman?
Gene Hackman.
Thank you.
I mean, Kevin Spacey was a very convincing
He was okay. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I really can't remember that movie that well. The Brandon Routh one?
Yeah.
I remember the bullet in the eyeball.
The bullet in the eyeball I've run right.
That was cool.
Pretty forgettable movie.
But yeah, outside of that.
Yeah.
And it was like an actual sequel to the...
It was supposed to be a sequel to part two. So almost like 3 and 4. So Richard Pryor won and The Quest for Peace never happened.
Yeah.
Which would probably have been a good thing if those movies never happened.
Yeah,
It's no wonder people think Superman sucks. It's because like every live action iteration we've gotten has just been incredibly divisive or just bad.
Well, no, except Superman 1 Superman and 2 are amazing movies, and 2 is very good.
Yeah, 2 is very.
2 is like they made at the same time.
Okay. Yeah, it was for 50 years ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was 70 years ago.
It's quite a lot.
You can't say every and then not be like and then have missing two very good movies.
They're an animated,
just because it happened before you were born doesn't mean it didn't happen.
And animated Supermans have been relatively.
Were we still in the Cold War?
Yes.
Yes. We're
why is that funny?
Dead center of the Cold War.
The entire decade of the 80s was in the Cold War. The Berlin Wall didn't come down in 89.
So long ago.
Which Superman was where he flies the Earth back in time? Is that the first one?
That's the first one.
That's the best
one. I like that one.
Yes. One is one of my favorite movies ever, full stop. Two is really good. Two is very good.
I'm a Man of Steel defender, but I recognize the hate.
Have you seen Superman 2?
I don't think so.
You must watch it. It's very good.
Man of Steel?
I think it sucks. I think the Zack Snyder stuff is awful.
Yeah, you're not.
Really bad. I would say Man of Steel is the best Snyder movie.
I think he's reined in enough in that movie by the Christopher Nolan production.
It's the best one of them.
I think you can feel Nolan's fingerprints all over that movie.
I feel like Rudy would be a number one big Zack Snyder guy.
No, last time I was on, I talked about how much I hate his movies.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I said that they're like the like crypto bro version of a director. It's like he's like a crypto bro. It's like Sharper Image type movies.
Yeah. You know? Except for Guardians of Ga'Hoole. That's a classic.
Guardians of Ga'Hoole is good.
It's a good movie.
And I like 300.
Yeah. Who doesn't like 300?
Well, never seen it.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I'm good. His best movie is The Watchmen, which isn't that great. The book's fantastic.
I didn't know he made Watchmen.
The book is great.
Watchmen's books.
Read the graphic novel. Don't see the movie.
Watch the show. Show Fox.
I couldn't get into the show, but it's very well made. I just couldn't get into it, but I respect it.
Lindelof isn't for everyone. I feel like that's fair, right?
Oh yeah, because he is just consistently trying to mind fuck you at every single turn.
You Lost guy.
I loved Lost. The ending, the last season of Lost is one of the worst things ever. Yeah. But the first season of Lost, one of the best first seasons ever.
I would say the first two seasons are incredible. Number one, incredible. Definitely way better.
Two is great.
Yeah.
Two is really good.
Then it got the more they
three
get
three is bad. Four is good.
Yeah.
And then five is, and six is just.
They got lost.
Yeah.
They got lost.
When Ben's daughter dies, I think that's when it turned kind of like from being good into bad.
Well, they didn't write it, right? Like they were like, oh, they didn't know it was going to be that. I heard that they didn't know it was going to be that successful.
No.
So they had to like write it as they went, and they were like, okay, keep going. And then something happened with J.J. Abrams where he's like, damn, dude, confusing people rules. Let's keep doing that.
Yeah.
Let's make things very convoluted.
Yeah. He wanted to move on to greener pastures, I think, at some point.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he wasn't that involved after a while. It was basically Lindelof and Carlton Cuse.
That's right.
Were the main guys after the first season. J.J. Abrams kind of stepped back.
I like J.J. Abrams, but he gets lost in the sauce, dude. Westworld could have been like maybe one of the greatest TV shows ever made.
Talk about another series where the first season.
First season's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were that one off.
Straight lost in the sauce, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'll still sometimes, like, jump back into it and watch because, like, the vibe, and I know, like, there's something good in it, but they just don't do that.
Yeah. I wonder where J.J. Abrams went up to really recently. What's the most recent? Damn. Rise of Skywalker, obviously, but that's his last movie.
Huh.
It's 2019. And then Force Awakens before that, and then Star Trek. But he's been, like, producing other shit, but, like, none of it's...
Yeah, he did the Caped Crusader, but that's being shopped since HBO... just doesn't want to deal with it.
See, he produced Overlord, which I remember.
Overlord, I liked.
Avery or whatever. That was a good movie. That's solid. Did you watch that? That's a Nazi zombie movie.
I want to watch that.
Yeah,
I'm on a big World War II kick right now.
You would fuck with it then.
You'd fuck with it big time. All right, but anyway.
Yeah, you'd fuck with it heavy, Rudy.
Fuck with it.
We were cool enough
Rock with it heavy.
The first thing we had was that there's a Tetris trailer. We knew this movie was coming out. The fact that they're dropping the trailer like barely a month out from like the actual release date. Little weird. Apple TV Plus streaming movie. It's about the true story of the high stakes legal battle to secure the intellectual property rights to Tetris. Taron Egerton, Toby Jones, plenty of other people. None of them are, I would say, particularly famous. But
no.
Those two are the big ones.
No, I was looking through the cast list and I was like, I don't know any of these people.
Yeah. So Tetris and I think that OG or 80s video game era is a very big blind spot for me. But we're doing the bracket. And obviously we said like you'd want a Game Boy that was loaded with Tetris. I didn't even know Game Boy was... Like Tetris was on Game Boy.
That was the game.
I thought it was like only an arcade.
So when you bought a Game Boy back when Game Boy came out, the game you got was Tetris.
Yeah, and they show that in the trailer.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Trailer was interesting enough. I love Taron Egerton. I think he rocks. He not only is great actor, but great singer too. Like in the movie Sing, he's in both Sing movies.
He can dance too.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Rocket Man. I think he deserved every bit of adulation that was falsely given to Bohemian Rhapsody. In with Rocket Man, I don't know how you.
I don't like the musical biopics.
Not a fan. You didn't like either.
Nah, it's just too stuffed in. Mm. Didn't like either. I think he's good. If I had to pick one, I pick the Sing movies over. Yeah. And I don't like cartoons, but I would rather watch those than watch his musical biopics.
He obviously did Kingsman, and this is produced also by Matthew Vaughn, who believe he produced it. Marv, he directed it too. I think
that's their production company, Marv.
Yeah, that's not a terrible name.
No. But it's like every time I see it pop up, I'm just like, it's one of those production companies. You see the name and you just remember it for some reason.
Yeah. I just love Matthew Vaughn. I mean, Locked, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, Layer Cake, like every Guy Ritchie movie basically is Matthew Vaughn. So I like the combination, but I don't know. How do you feel? Because I feel like you know more about this than us.
I mean, Snatch, I think, is a great movie. Mm-hmm. Like, full stop, great movie. Mm-hmm. The other ones don't really hit for me, but I mean, like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, that was like a phenomenon that came out, like the indie movie scene. Like, that was a big deal when that came out, in like Premiere Magazine or Entertainment Week. We would talk about it a lot. I watched it. I didn't love it, but I respect Guy Ritchie. I respect Matthew Vaughn
That movie actually is a fun fact. It's Lock, Stock, or no, Snatch. Snatch wasn't going to get like distributed in the US, but I believe Tom Cruise was in England and Matthew Vaughn basically begged him, like, come to a screening of Snatch. Please just come to stream. So he comes to the streaming. And when he leaves, he says something to the line, like the effect of, you'd be an idiot if you don't buy rights to this movie.
TC, dude, TC puts the movie industry on his back. I don't know if you guys saw that video. Steven Spielberg just giving him fellatio on the red carpet. He was like, you saved the movie industry. You saved our asses.
Yeah.
You saved theatrical distribution.
I
love that.
Little to argue there. I mean, Tom Cruise, I mean, I wish he did more acting than he does now. He's an action star now only, but I mean, Top Gun was a great movie. Like, that's the best movie. Maybe Everything Everywhere All at Once is better than that. I don't know. I had a great time at Top Gun. I hope it does really well in the awards.
He needs to play more villains. That's been my take on Cruise forever. Like,
you
ever watch Collateral?
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing.
Very Collateral good goes crazy.
Yeah. He doesn't like being the bad guy.
Tropic Thunder. Kind of the villain.
His specific role.
He should do more comedy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Also, Interview with the Vampire. Lestat.
Yeah,
amazing.
He used to be a very good actor. Born the 4th of July.
Yeah,
Born. You go through that, like, amazing. The Color of Money, like Rain Man. Like, he was a great actor.
Yeah.
And then everything changed when he did the first Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Like, his whole career shifted.
Yeah.
And then he became just different variations of Tom Cruise jumping out of stuff.
But anyway, how'd you feel about the Tetris trailer, just in general?
I think it looks like a low budget movie. I don't think this is going to really help anyone or hurt, you know. It'll get a little bit of play on Apple, just like everything on Apple Plus, it'll vanish in a day or two and no one remember it happened.
I will say they've stepped up their game recently. I feel like a decent amount, at least like when they started, it was C and that was it.
It feels like they are fully committed. Like, they want to compete with Netflix, they want to compete with Hulu. They, I think, view themselves as a big dog, and they have more money than Netflix. They have more money than all the other, outside of Amazon, they have the most money. Like, they have the resources to do
good
it.
Stuff.
Don't they have the most money of anybody?
Doesn't Apple
have the most money in the world? It's like the most highly valued
Amazon
company.
Amazon has to have more than that.
I thought Apple was the highest valued company in the world.
It all depends on how much they're going to shift their divisions.
Maybe Apple's the biggest one. But either way, they're like, I mean, they get movie stars to do scripted television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're getting big name directors to come. They're getting a lot of, the project they've been putting out look great. The projects they've been putting out that are already out, I've loved, especially the past year. It's been impressive, honestly.
You're right, by the way, Rudy. Amazon's fifth, and Apple's first. Oh my god!
These fucking millennials and their iPhones.
Yeah, dude,
fucking millennials.
How'd you like that? Well, actually,
market cap is $2.6 trillion. That's disgusting. The revenue alone, $378 billion. That's disgusting. Sorry. Anyway,
Steve Jobs is living on Mars.
I know.
Tell me that's not true.
This is by the way, the director. This is John S. Baird, who did a couple of good things, but like Stan and Ollie. Not many people watched, but it's a good movie. No.
Stan and Ollie was the one with John C. Reilly, right?
Yes, it was. And Steve Coogan, right? Yeah, Steve Coogan.
Yeah.
He did Vinyl, which a couple episodes of Vinyl, which was good. Babylon. Yeah,
that was a really good for talking about series that start strong.
That first
episode was awesome.
Yeah. And then, but after that, I mean, there's not many other people, big people involved in this, but Tetris.
I'm excited for it. Anytime you get that 80s, like that synth music, mix it into a trailer, it always plays. Like, I remember when the Wonder Woman 84 trailer came out.
That was a great trailer.
And they had the Steve, what is it? Sebastian Baum remix to, what is it? Blue Monday.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is the greatest trailer. This movie's going to be amazing. Mm. 80s vibes everywhere. Stunk, but got me excited. And same thing happened here. I'm thrilled for this movie at this point because I do love, like you said, the guy, Taron Egerton. I think he should be like a big, big time star. Like, he's kind of known at this point, but I think he should be like up there with the Timothy Chalamets when we're talking like young actors. Like, he can act his ass off and he chooses a variety of projects. Like, started out in the Kingsman. That's where he got like his foot in the game, which Kingsman came out of nowhere and was just a fucking blast. First
banger.
First one's amazing. Second one, not that great. Has its merits, but not that great. Did Sing. He's done voice work for Sing, which is a massive animated franchise. My niece's favorite movies. Did Blackbird last year. Miniseries with Paul Walter Hauser.
That's Apple TV as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Rocket Man, which he was, I think, majorly snubbed, at least at the nomination. I think he had a case to win it.
Yeah.
So he does a lot of interesting stuff, and he can do pretty much anything you ask him to do. I hope this isn't going to be the thing that moves him into that A-list territory, but I'm excited to see it either way.
Rudy? I feel like you'd be a big Tetris during class guy for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, Tetris.
Or Balloon Tower Defense, maybe?
Dude, Tetris on the Switch
is
amazing. Tetris itself, amazing.
Great theme song too. I always want to say Joel Edgerton. It's not his name. What's his name again?
Edgerton.
There is a Joel Edgerton.
I know, but who's this guy's name?
Taron Edgerton. Edgerton.
So I love Taron. I think he's, I agree with you, Gooch. I think that he is deserves to be a huge leading star. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those movies to me. It's like, this is just a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the interest or care to like learn about the geopolitical implications of Tetris. To me, this is just a Wikipedia page. I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I'm just not going to watch this because I just don't. It's not going to be like, I don't know. It's just not my vibe. Like, I don't need a biopic on Tetris.
We are getting some very strange behind the scenes, like biographical true story movies coming up between Air, which is the Sonny Vicaro.
Very excited for that.
Yes, that's an interesting story, but one that feels like has been people know about at least. Getting the rights to Tetris. We also have the Pop-Tart movie coming up, Jerry Seinfeld's movie, which is like All the Right Things, or what is it? What is that? Who described it as All the Right Stuff? And
I forget who it was.
You mean like The Right Stuff?
The Right Stuff.
Yeah.
There we go. The Right Stuff meets. I can't remember how you described it. People anyway, we're getting a movie about like the creation of Pop-Tarts too. Like, we're getting a bunch of really random behind-the-scenes stuff. And I wonder what is causing that.
Because they can't, like, no one either, like, my hunch on it is that right now it's no secret that in the movie industry, you got to have like a superhero movie. Mm. And then writing like a new unique piece is like, it's going to be indie or like smaller. Like,
it's
not going to make money. So then if you take, okay, well, then what's the next thing? It's like, okay, well, we don't want to do a superhero movie or we can't. We don't have an IP, yada, yada, yada. Let's just do a biopic on something that's already established.
Biopic. I did this mistake too. Some people say biopic or whatever. It's biographical picture. Biopic.
Biopic?
Biopic.
Who says biopic?
So I've heard
British, biopic?
The British people fucking say it like that.
Did I say biopic?
Yeah, you kind of, or at least I thought you did.
I say words differently than I'd like normally do all the time. Like one day, a while ago, I said documentary.
That sounds English.
I was like, why did I say
like
that?
It's like advertisement shit.
Right yeah. There. But, yeah, no, I just think like this is personal preference. I would rather watch a documentary about something like this.
Sure.
Because like with biopics, it's like they're going to. Did I say it wrong again?
It was just weird. Yeah,
I can't do it. But like they're going to put the movie twist on it. Mm. Like Imitation Game was cool. But then I watched World War II documentary and like obviously they change things and they keep it pretty solid. But like it's just going to be like that movie flair where like let's have like cool music and 8-bit stuff and a hot guy. It's like, OK, well, like I just would rather just like know the history. You know what I mean? Like one thing I think that towed the line perfectly on that was Chernobyl.
Yeah, that's true. That was an amazing miniseries. But also that had the breadth of a full miniseries.
Exactly. And I was going to say something earlier when we were talking about this. I don't know why they never do sequels with these kind of things or like a trilogy.
Chernobyl 2?
Because it's so hard to cram it all in. They always do these weird things where they like encapsulate like a whole person's life into like, and then they choose these like forums and like flashbacks. And that's fine to tell a story, but it just something about it. I'm sort of just like, this is just not like if it's history, I want the history. Is give it to me history and give me the context. I don't need like this, like with the Elton John movie. It was a good movie, but he's in like an AA meeting the whole time. Yeah. Or like the Steve Jobs movie. It takes place over the course of him like on this one Apple release and they jump back and forth. I don't know. It just doesn't hit the same for me as like just watching a documentary.
I will note like they said that this is going to have a vibe of Social Network. And also Social Network is
fucking, yeah, okay. I will say that that's the exception. Social Network to me was like, that is a banger.
And that's the one that can use a sequel because there's a lot of
Fincher has always said he's open to doing one.
Yeah,
he's always said it'd be very interesting to revisit.
Yeah, I'd be very down for that if ever they want a Social Network too.
You see Jesse Eisenberg just with fucking suntan lotion all over his face. That has to be in the movie.
Have you ever seen him in whiteface? Eisenberg?
Yes. Yeah,
what a look that was. John Wick had a new trailer. The first trailer was kind of short. This one kind of gives you a little bit more. Seeing Scott Adkins in his fat suit, which was interesting because he's like one of the most, sort of iconic B and C level action star. Seeing everything else was cool. I think the Nas remix of Got Myself a Gun in it was great. I think it's kind of a risk anytime you like try to take something that like it's the Nas remix or whatever. But when you hear like Woke Up This Morning, Got Myself a Gun, it's Sopranos. There's not really many things that are as singularly tied to one of the best arguably the best television series ever than that song. And so it's risky, but I don't think any franchise has earned it as much as the John Wick franchise has. Super excited for this because these movies have been like rejuvenation for the action genre, I would say. Just the way that they present fights, the fact that they were obviously created and directed by stuntmen who knew how this shit should work, how it should look. Just really pumped up to see the new thing. And one thing that I've always loved about John Wick, besides seeing the videos of them doing the shooting practice and everything, where they had like Halle Berry and Keanu Reeves like doing all the shooting thing, is just like, it's a really cool lore in John Wick. Like, they've built up a really cool, like, interesting little micro world of assassin shit, and I love to see them expand it. Obviously, new big cast members: Donnie Yen, Hiroyuki Sanada, Bill Skarsgård's playing the villain, the Marquis, I think, or something like that. Just really pumped up for it. I don't know. Are you a John Wick guy?
Never seen it.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and it's not out of. Like, I
on HBO Max, you gotta watch.
So here's why I've been kind of apprehensive. I know there's some stuff in the first one with the dog, and I love my dogs. I'm a big dog guy, and like the idea of like, well, I have to be like really in the right mood to watch it. So I've been kind of like, my wife would never want to see that. So like, because of that stuff, it's like I've been very apprehensive. I like Keanu Reeves just fine, and I love the idea of like a good, exciting new take on action. So it's nothing against it. It's just been, I've been apprehensive for that reason.
It's the movie that's restarted his cool career, basically.
Honestly, if you're just worried about the dog part, you can fast forward through that first like 10 minutes. Like, I don't, if you already know the backstory.
I hate skipping anything because I feel it's like kind of, you know, it's ruining art. So I, like, whenever I watch a movie, I have it like my lights are off, phone's gone. I watch a movie. I never like half-ass it because I feel like that's not really appreciating or not really giving the art credit.
I think you should watch. It's on HBO Max. All three of them are.
Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
You love 80s movies. I mean, they pay a lot of homage to like 80s action.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
and 90s too, to a degree.
Yeah.
I would say,
yeah. Sure. Maybe I'll watch tonight because my wife's away on business. So it wouldn't bother her. And I'll have my dogs next to me and they can like help me get through it.
The action is insane because it's not like the fucking like early 2000s, like for things where it's a stuntman going like boof, zap, yeah, like all that shit. It's like they're throwing people.
Yeah. I hear the scenes are amazing. Like, I said, it's not anything that all do with the quality of it. It's more just like I have to be like in the right mindset.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll check it out tonight.
And Keanu's legitimately amazing in it because he doesn't really have to do.
And they're on HBO Max and everything?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe
you got to check those out.
This might be the night to do it.
It's a must.
I swear they've dumbed down his dialogue every single, like in the trailers. Like, I feel like he's just saying, yeah.
That's it.
You gotta sue. Yeah. You gotta sue for me.
Yeah. He says like three lines in each movie. Like, where's he didn't say anything. That's it. That's a part of it. I don't know, Gooch.
I mean, yeah, I watched the trailer. Nothing new to add. I like the first trailer better. Just the song better. I mean, I'm excited for it. There's not much to say about John Wick, and I think that's the best thing you can say about it. It's like
the most consistent franchise.
You don't really
right
have to think too much. You just sit there and you watch and you're entertained. There's a little bit of lore going on in the background. Good lore too. I like the high table stuff, the excommunicado, the way everything looks behind the scenes. But for the most part, just watching John Wick just fucking kill people, which is kind of sadistic, but whatever. Yeah, no, it's awesome.
It rules. It just rules. I want a John Wick movie to come like a calendar year, just a calendar year. Just give me a Wick movie every single year. I want in the end there to be like a scene like in The Irishman, where he's like moving incredibly slow to beat up someone 20 years younger than me. I want that. I want that. Just give it to me every year. I don't even care about, like, you just do it again.
They're expanding the franchise. You know that, right? They have a series based on the Continental.
Okay.
That's run by Al Swearen, Ian McShane. And they have the spinoff with Ana de Armas, where she plays.
Ooh.
I know. And I think she will be very, just based on her like limited screen time in No Time to Die, she was great in those action scenes.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that too. So yeah, like you said, I'll take all the John Wick universe you can give me.
Just run it. Run it.
As long as the action looks that good every single time, fuck yeah.
It's the jet sweep of movies. Like until they figure out how to stop it, you just keep running that play.
It's the most, I would say, easily the most consistent franchise running right now, because like every other franchise has hits, misses, whatever. Like all three John Wick movies, you cannot say any of them are bad. It's impossible. They're all accomplished the objective they're trying to achieve. They're all good. I would argue all three of them are great to a degree, but
it's probably the best original character introduced in the last decade at least.
Really?
Original character? Yeah.
What else would you have?
What other original characters have been really brought out?
I like both characters in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Those guys are pretty
good. I'm talking about building a franchise, to it,
I guess. Like, a franchise? Like a
franchise character.
Oh, talking zeitgeist, around. Homie.
Yeah.
All right. That makes it a little different.
Talking like Lethal Weapon type, like we're building something here type.
Well, then that really limits it because there haven't been too many non-IP franchises. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
I can't think of any. I'm sure there are.
Speaking of, another one that's getting a second movie, I Am Legend. This second one is going to be set decades after the alternate ending of the original film, which is cool. They're using the alternate ending of the original I Am Legend, which is far superior.
You know the alternate ending, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know the alternate ending?
I did. It's the woman ends up going to the like the fortress of like, am I doing
what do they
right?
call it again? Sanctuary or something? In the
the one that
basically
he, where
the,
he works?
He survives.
Yeah.
That's he survives.
Yeah, so does the dog.
That's the main difference. Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's the main difference.
So it's decades after the ending of the alternate ending, Michael B. Jordan and Will Smith both back into it, which is just, I love that it was so obvious when people were like right after the whole slap thing, like he'll never work again. It's like, yes, you will.
Oh, yeah,
you'll all forget about this in 1 week and he'll be in 5,000 more movies. He'll be back in this I Am Legend based off Omega Man, right? Or something like that.
No, I Am Legend was a book.
It's a book from 1950s.
Yeah.
Was the Omega Man was based off that?
I believe so. I don't know.
There are three different movies based on the book. Gotcha. One from like the 60s or 70s, one in the 80s. And
one of the three books I've read.
Is I Am Legend.
It's mm-hmm. a pretty big deviation from the
yes,
book.
Yes.
Remarkably big deviation.
Yeah.
But both are good. The movie and the book.
Yeah, I love that. That movie was one of my favorite. I think it was in high school at least for us.
Oh, dude, right? Yeah. I think I've seen it the most of any movie, actually.
Was it 2007?
Scared the shit out of me when I saw it. I think I was in like fifth grade.
I just cried.
Oh, if you don't like the dog
I literally was weeping in the movie theater, just crying.
It really wrecked
that dog scene. Just dominates
because you think he's gonna make it through because you're like the whole way through, you're like something bad's gonna happen to the dog.
Yeah,
and then you get to the very end and you're like, oh, I guess he's gonna make it through. We've made it this far, and then fucking.
Oh, I
the rug from underneath of you.
A really, really good movie. I'm really. I just saw the first response to our tweet about it. Is some guy just saying opening line from Michael B. Jordan? I Am Legend 2. I like that. Michael B. Jordan, obviously an amazing actor too. So having him on board is great. I'm just curious to see what else they can build with this. And we've kind of talked about this too. Like zombie movies were sort of on the decline. I would say more than anything else, or maybe there's an oversaturation of them. Like there was like cool, unique ones like Train to Busan and stuff like that, but very rarely would we get something interesting. I'm interested in their world. They're not really vampires more than zombies, I guess, but it's the same bullshit, like The Last of Us or whatever. It's zombies.
Yeah.
But Clemmer, are you in a... You were a fan or against it because of the dog thing?
I liked it. It was a very good movie. It was fine. It was good. I thought the last act was awful. The third act of that movie is very bad. But the first two acts are very good.
Like him going crazy talking to the mannequins and stuff.
Yeah, all of it. I just like love that he had like his little so much his detail routine, too in the production design. Like his like house like had all these like if you pause it you can look and it's everything's kind of like labeled and it's really well done. I just feel like that third act they wanted to make this like this kind of a dumb action movie at the end. It was kind of disappointing.
That's fair. Gooch?
Yeah, no, I'm glad they're leading with the alternate ending. I think that was, I guess it's a little divisive. I don't know. Where do most people stand?
I feel like
on
most
that?
People like the alternate ending. I just remember when it first
like
dropped
it just
on YouTube.
He survives. I did kind of like that he dies at the end because it felt right. But I liked them showing that they weren't actually monsters at all, but like just a new civilization of people that were infected with something. I like that.
I remember when it dropped, people like on YouTube, everyone was like, you got to watch the alternate ending. You got to watch it. It's so much better. Blah, 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 blah. And like, I think it was decently better. At least the way it was executed versus the end. Like, it's cool. Yeah, he had to die, I guess, to a degree. But like, I just like the way they executed the alternate better.
I'm always game for, I'm a sucker for post-apocalyptic stuff. Like, same. It just like, if the production, especially if the production design is there, like you said, like if the world looks perfect, like I love that like scenery of like, oh, this is what New York City would look like 30 years from now, if everyone got infected, got run down, like trees are growing everywhere, plant life's coming out of the
lions,
the cement lions, like all that shit. I love that. I'm excited.
We just had a new news story just drop right now. A female Starsky and Hutch series is in the work. That'll get watched a lot.
Dope.
What? Sure. Who's going to star?
Just says the series is in the works from Hollywood Reporter.
That feels like absolutely like something that...
Dude, they should just do Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson and drag.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. I always forget about that remake.
That movie, yeah.
Movie. But how you feel about I'm Legend, Rudy?
I'm stoked on it. One thing I do like about it is I think it's like a cool, like perfect passage of time. It's like, that's a great movie that everyone is sort of like, you know, okay, yeah. Like, I think it was like 2008. You're like, oh, that's a great flick from 2008, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, shit, we're going again. That's cool. I think it's a good passage of time, like a perfect, like, 12-year window. Mm-hmm. So I think that's cool. It'll be very hard to, like, live up to that. I liked both endings. Like, I actually enjoyed both.
Yeah.
I kind of favored more the one where he died, to be honest. But
does he die in the book?
I honestly don't remember.
In the book, he's one of the vampires.
Yeah, I don't actually remember.
Okay. It's like a twist ending.
Okay.
You know, I'm excited for it. I thought it was a great movie. I think that scene where he is watching Shrek after he like loses his marbles after the Sam the dog dies.
Yeah.
And he comes downstairs and starts reciting Shrek. That's like one of my favorite scenes. Mm-hmm. I think that's like so well acted. And it also had a lot of sentimental value. Like, me and my dad always watched Shrek together. So it was like kind of, it just kind of hit hard for me. So I fucked with that pretty heavy. Like, I love that movie. It was also like one of the only movies I had on my computer when I was a kid. So I would just watch it like,
over and over.
OG iTunes when you just buy a movie and just in your iTunes. So yeah.
What did the first I Am Legend do at the box office?
Pretty well.
I think domestically.
I mean,
especially.
I knew it was a massive movie.
Yeah.
But I distinctly, vividly remember walking out of that movie and being like having anxiety. Like, it took you to a different place.
Scared the shit out of me.
It definitely took you to a different place. When I walked outside, I felt weird. Like, it really moved you, me at least. Like, it moved you to it. It really set you in that world very well.
It did a good job with the world,
$585 million.
Oh, how much domestic?
Really damn solid. $256. Right. Almost an even split between that and international, which is kind of impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Especially if a movie gives me like a mini panic attack when I leave, I know it's a good movie.
Yes, exactly. The Starsky and Hutch thing, I don't know why anyone it wouldn't matter if male, female, I don't know why anyone would want to watch a reboot of Starsky and Hutch.
The first one wasn't very good. I mean, the first reboot with Ben Stiller.
It was just write a new movie for the ladies, man. Stop doing this to them.
Stop.
Stop doing it to them. The show wasn't
a good show. Like, I watched the show. It wasn't good. Like, this is, we stop. Enough.
And like, this isn't the, if you want to have like more female led roles and stuff like that, it's like, what are you saying? Just like make a movie for them.
Yeah, write a movie.
They exist too. Like, there's plenty of comic book led like female characters. Yeah. You could just like, dude, there's existing IP.
Just write a new movie with new characters. Why do we need to keep going IP?
People don't go see movies that aren't.
No one's going to see this.
So what will happen is like, you create new female characters, nobody goes to see it, the movie flops, and people just say, look.
To Clemmer's point, there's no one's gonna go watch Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, it
doesn't have the name brand value.
Oh no! Like, although I did love the Starsky and Hutch PS2 video game. Fucking banger!
I remember the Dukes of Hazzard video game being very fun.
Fire.
Very good game. Also, like, one of the sexiest music videos of all time.
Oh, by far.
Jessica Simpson,
Boots Man for Walking.
Oh my
god! Her in like the swimsuit on top of the car.
Freakishly hot.
Didn't she do the Burger King commercial too?
Where she, you're thinking of the no, that's
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. That's when
Harris did it too.
Yeah,
Harris did. That's right.
I think that was what's his face, is the owner of the Panthers' son, came up with that idea for that ad campaign.
The guy who owns AEW,
was he like 15 at the time?
Who's the guy who was touching people's jeans on Casual Friday?
Well, oh, brother, take a name.
Is it Richardson? Is that his name? The Panthers owner? Carolina Panthers?
Wait, am I thinking the Jaguars? Yeah, that's Khan. Khan is Jaguars. Yeah.
But the whole notion of like just giving the woman version of a male-led series is the same vibe as me as like if you're at a party and you and your boys are playing like Beard Eye and the girls are like standing on the side and you're like, oh, let's get you involved. And you like let them play. And then you belittle them when they're not as good as you because they don't spend their whole life like playing. Yeah. Like, it's just so unfair.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, just like Molly's Game is like a true story, but like that's a great female led story. Mm-hmm. There's so many. It's just so, it's like legitimately rude to like just do this to them.
Yeah, it's setting them up to fail too, because like it'll,
right?
But although I guess to a degree with Starsky and Hutch, like we were saying, that like, it's not a great thing where it's like, oh, you can't touch the immortal legacy of Starsky and Hutch. But like, the whole thing, the idea is like, it's not good. So what, how much better could they possibly make it?
Nobody's going to care about it. Like, no one cares about Starsky and Hutch. Like, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, at all. And I feel like the people that do are the type of people that are old enough that they're not going to want to see a female-led reboot on principle, which is a different type of person. But
it's so old. It was an old show when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, that's how old it was.
Last thing was a Little Mermaid trailer. It's directed by Rob Marshall, who did Mary Poppins Returns, Pirates of the Caribbean. Right? No, that was
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was somebody else.
Yes.
Fuck.
So, who directed Chicago?
Yeah, this guy directed Chicago. Rob
then
Marshall.
Who directed Cats?
Who directed it?
No, I gotta look this up.
So tell me when you get there. Halle Bailey plays Ariel. Melissa McCarthy, Javier Bardem,
Hooper,
Diggs.
Tom Hooper. Thank you. Yeah.
Is an Oscar winner.
Hooper is a good director.
Just not of Cats. Awkwafina in this as well. This movie, obviously, just fucking people are going to review bomb at the moment it comes out, I'm sure. I am just kind of at the point where I don't want to see any more Disney live action movies. I'm just like, that's another thing, like we were just saying, it's just set up to fail. Where like the all those Disney Renaissance movies are so tied in with very specific, like, nostalgic memories, it's very difficult to top. Like, at best, you can make it passable. And that's where, like, Aladdin was for me. Like, the Aladdin movie, I'm like, yeah, solid. Beauty and the Beast, yeah, solid. But, like, it's, you're never going to have, like, hey, the live, everyone's going to be going, like, the live action mermaid is so much better than the original, whatever it was, 1989 one. Yep. So I
like Cruella better than 101.
I don't think that was, that wasn't an adaptation of 101, though. It was just kind of a live action prequel movie, I guess. Where they can, when you can be original and there's nothing baseline to compare it to, yeah, that's where you can make your money, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's been their problem. They just go one for one. It's what the fuck?
And like with Lion King, which was just fucking pointless movie to watch. But that's where I kind of fall with all of the live action things at this point. Like, yeah, they're going to make money because kids will probably still love them anyway, just like how we love Phantom Menace when it came out. But like, I just don't know. The quality bar is like the ceiling is so present to me for how well these can do quality wise, not money wise. How do you feel?
I think these are awful. I feel bad for young kids. Like, it's kind of robbing them of their movies that they like. So they're just going to love the same movies as their parents, but love the live action version. Like, what are we doing?
I don't think they don't even like the live, like speaking off my niece. So this is one girl, little girl's opinion. She does not like the live action stuff at all. Like, she picks the cartoon animated stuff 10 times out of 10. Like, it just looks better, the music's better, because a lot of cases you had what's his face running the show,
Alan Menken,
who's Menken, go.
Then who's watching these movies then?
I think it's just
who's it going makes to shit make a show.
It man. Makes so much of the box right. office because you get parents who are just like, I like the original.
It's a babysitting movie.
Exactly. I'll take them to the movies. We'll see this. I liked it when I was a kid.
But that's sad for that generation. Like, they should be babysitting movies should be movies for them. Like, you know, we had ours in the 80s. You guys had your stuff in the 90s, early 2000s. Like, you had movies that you can connect to as a kid. Yeah. Now that people are just connecting to movies that their parents used to, it's just weird. Just create new stuff.
Pixar still does original stuff every single time.
It is there, right?
And outside Disney's story, outside of Toy Story,
but then Disney's going to try and make a live action Toy Story in like 10 years, I'm sure. And same with like any of their other.
It's
stuff.
Also like why
Pixar you're, also is getting screwed over in the theaters too, right? They're not putting Pixar movies in the theaters.
Well, they fixed it, but they weren't. And Pixar employees were pissed. It was about to they're about to burn the place down.
My favorite Pixar story is still
over Luca.
What do you call it? Toy Story 2 almost getting deleted completely. You ever hear about this?
No.
Toy Story 2, they had the entire rendering up to that point on this one, like, some sort of, like, memory card, basically. And they accidentally, like, overwrote it. And, like, essentially, they were going to have to stop and start the entire thing from scratch.
Was Barstool involved in this production?
And one,
like, something we would do.
One lady who was, like, on maternity leave had a backup copy that she had brought home, like, 2 days beforehand. So they lost a little bit, and she brought it back to them. But it was fucking crazy. They almost had to start from scratch. It might have not happened at that point.
Yeah, right.
Just from a budget standpoint.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Just crazy story.
It also, like I was going to say, though, like, it doesn't make a ton of sense to be doing these in live action, too, because you have, like, one live action character, maybe a few live action characters, like in Beauty and the Beast, but then the environment is entirely CGI'd, so you're theoretically animating everything around it just in a different style. So why not just give it a full animation, like a 2D animation or a 3D animation. Yeah. So it's just weird and kind of jarring in a lot of aspects. I think Little Mermaid looks extremely jarring.
It's like
it doesn't look right because it's underwater and they don't have the Avatar level budget to really pull that off. Mm-hmm. And they also completely, I think, revamped the color correction on from the first trailer to this one. I don't know if you noticed that. The first one was dim and like dull. This one looked dim too.
I didn't see the first one.
It looks a lot less dim than the first one. Go back and watch the first one. The first one was dark and like had no color to it. This one pumped up the color quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is going to be very good. I think this could be their worst one yet.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really hard to do. And also the guy, I don't know the guy who's playing Princess Eric at all. All I remember is that's my favorite scene.
I remember that casting was a big deal, though. People thought Timothy Chalamet.
They thought it was going to be Harry Styles at first.
Or yeah, Harry Styles or Chalamet.
I just remember from the clip of Righteous Gemstones, which is a fantastic show. They have the whole scene where they got married at Disneyland by Prince Eric. And they're like, you had your marriage at Disneyland. You didn't get married by a legacy character. And I just fucking love that scene so much. Rudy, you Little Mermaid stan?
No, not really. But in the Disney movies, it's not my bag. But for me, everything you guys said is true. I won't speak too much on it because everything you said is correct. But for me, this is a you get remarkably fucked up and go watch it because it's like cool underwater stuff. And that's good when you're fucked up. Like just do a bunch of shrooms.
Yeah. I was going to say that's an absolute shrooms.
It's a shrooms flick for me.
Yeah, Haley Bailey too has a really good voice, so I think at least the music will be fine, like or good, maybe even better.
Yeah,
but like everything else about it,
just me and a bunch of kids.
How much better can she be than the original soundtrack? Is the problem?
Original
that's the
soundtrack's
same,
really
that's
good.
That's the
really
same
good.
Thing with The Lion King. Like, as good of a performer as Beyonce is,
they fucking wasted
or
her.
Or how good you think she is? I don't think she's like the GOAT, like some people do, but you're a good performer. She couldn't live up to the original soundtrack, the Hans Zimmer score and the Alan Menken writing of the first Lion King, which was phenomenal.
So good. I don't like cartoons and it's great.
Yeah, they just did a one-for-one rip and it just wasn't as good. Like, it just wasn't.
I think the problem I had with that casting was that, or with the way that they worked that casting is, you have Beyonce, you have, all these other super talented people. Even Childish Gambino with Donald Glover. Like, you have all these people, they didn't really let them do anything new. They just did the shit that was already there and they were kind of not right for those like those type of songs, I think. And then they had one original song and it wasn't very good. And
the original song was bad. It was the Beyonce song.
Yeah, no, it just wasn't good. So that was kind of a bummer. All right. 80s movies draft.
All right.
1980 to 1984. Woo. I pre-did the order thing beforehand in the randomizer. It will be Clemmer. Oh, wow. It's the exact order we're sitting. It's Clemmer, me, Robbie, then Rudy.
All right.
Oh, that's perfect.
Good. Rudy get back-to-back picks, obviously. Snakes our way back. Clemmer.
Oh, man.
First pick. This is
I'm actually very interested to see how you do this.
Me too.
I was kind of hoping I had the number two pick because this one and two are close.
I think I know exactly who it is.
I think there's a clear one and two, but I'm interested to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to go with one of the five greatest movies of all time for me. It's The Shining.
Oh, okay. Not the one I thought you were going to go.
Not what I thought. No.
Yeah, I mean, The Shining is...
You're a big Stephen King, though.
Big Stephen King fan. All right. Stephen King fan. But this movie is very different than the book.
Yeah.
Especially the last half. The Kubrick direction here is amazing. I've seen this movie, 100 times in my life. Mm-hmm. Every time I see it, I actually do see new stuff. And there are... Because everything is so unresolved in this movie that you constantly are finding new things to kind of pick at. And you're not right. You're not wrong. There's no right or wrong answer. It's a puzzle that will never... I'll watch it until the day I die. It'll never be completed. And I'll always enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
The Shining.
I think that's one of the first movies to use, or horror movies to use, the Steadicam technology at the time, right?
But yeah, they had it on the back of Danny's big wheel.
Yeah.
And they show it. And it's even to this day, the sound is great. He goes from carpet to hardwood.
Yeah.
I know it's a simple thing, but it still sounds great 43 years later. I love this movie. It came out a couple months after I was born. Mm-hmm. So it's always kind of been in my life. My parents had it. My parents didn't believe in rules, as far as with art, anything was kind of free game pretty much in my house. So The Shining was on when I was 4 years old. And I said, I watched it a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
It's still so good.
It's great.
I agree with you. Every time I rewatch it, I do feel like I'm not watching for the first time, but I feel like it does feel like a new experience.
It is, yes.
To a degree.
That's the Kubrick experience, baby. Oh,
yeah. And there's just so many moments in that are just well shot for that era for sure. Well, even better shot for our era. Like even the opening scene where they're doing the whole helicopter shot
incredible.
Around everything.
And the score and the background, that synth is so amazing.
And you have a great kid actor.
Great kid actor. Danny, the kid who plays Danny Torrance is fantastic. This is pretty much the only thing he ever did.
Yeah.
And then Nicholson gives a great Nicholson performance. You got Shelley Duvall losing her mind. It is just an amazing... from top to bottom, it never fails to entertain me and never fails to scare me. The older I get, too, it's scarier.
The blood scene, still to this day, that when I watched that movie too young, that scene got me. The blood coming through the hallway.
There's no scarier scene than when he's in the bathroom with Grady, who killed his twin daughters. And Grady's just kind of explaining why he did it. And Jack at first is kind of confused. And it's just a bizarre conversation with him talking to someone that, mm-hmm. Annihilated his entire family. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. terrifying, amazing, everything.
Great, great sequence when Jack Nicholson dies. There's the him frozen. I love that.
Oh, image. It's great. It's great. It's a gift perfect. I use all the time. Yeah, I love it.
For my pick, I will go with what was I thought you were going to pick, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back, one of the few movies I have rated as 100 out of 100. One of the best movies ever made from any, regardless of genres you want to put it in or anything like that. This is like the pure, when Star Wars is at its purest, like space opera heights, where it's like very character driven sort of stuff. Like you're getting all this shit fleshed out. You're also getting amazing action scenes. Battle of Hoth is like one of my favorite sci-fi scenes ever. Still so good. The fight, the actual fight between Darth Vader and Luke, the Cloud City, one of the coolest scene, one of the coolest planets like they've ever built out in like as far as world building sci-fi. The I love you, I know scene or just dialogue, amazing. I just fucking, everything about that movie is great. Dagobah, great planet. Everything about that movie, I'm gonna go rewatch it tonight already because I'm hyping myself up about it. Just so fucking good. Cast is amazing. Harrison Ford in his game, in his like true bag right there. The coolest dude in the entire goddamn world. And man, just fucking love it.
Dude, Harrison Ford doesn't get any cooler. He really doesn't. And that's why my pick, Harrison Ford again, Raiders.
Yeah, that's my next one.
I didn't know if you were going to go Raiders Empire there, but in my opinion, Raiders Empire, I thought they were going to be the clear-cut one, too. Raiders is just, I've talked about it ad nauseum on here. I think it's the perfect adventure movie. Get away, just, there's no one cooler than Indiana Jones. Like, because you can't really conceptualize a real-life Han Solo because of, I mean, laser gun,
yeah,
all that shit, space. Indiana Jones is just a fucking architect. He's a professor at a college.
Archaeologist.
Architect Indiana Jones would be way less cool.
That was the mom and family ties.
Is this a load-bearing wall? Are we not sure here?
Well, he was a carpenter.
He was.
True.
So, I mean, like, it's just someone that you can actually, like, envision, especially as a child. Like, you're like, this is a real, like, you can, Indiana Jones is a real person that you could, like, reach to the screen and touch, like, and he's just running around with his fucking whip, like, running that opening scene, run through the temple, boulder behind him. I mean, how many times are we going to recreate that in pop culture? Like, it just has so many moments.
And Alfred Molina, right, in that opening scene?
It is, yes.
That's Alfred Molina?
Yeah.
The guy who gets, like, speared in the face and tries to leave him there.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, see you later, Mr. Jones.
He's, like, 30 years younger than what I'm used to, but, yeah, okay. But, yeah, I mean, Raiders is, I think, best indie movie. So, yeah.
It's a dude that kills Nazis. Like, it really does not get...
It's hard to write a better, like, a cooler character. And he gets all the girls, like... and you want to talk about something that awoke something in me as a child? Me with girls with raspy voices.
Yeah.
Marion, oh...
That's that scene in the bar too, like that introduction with fucking the Nazi getting the thing burned on his hand. No, even before that, when he melts the symbol onto his hand.
Oh yeah,
and then that's the one where he fights the Nazi that like the big brawl Nazi that he throws into the fucking plane propeller, right?
I think that's the first one. That's the first one, right?
And then that fight scene in the bar is so cool. The melting scene.
Dude, the melting face. I love Spielberg. He's come out and say it, like, said it before. I can't remember what, like, the exact words he said, but he just said, like, I love, like, throwing at least just one scene in all my movies that will scare the living shit out of the kid. Like, scare them to death, and they will remember it for their whole life. And that was the melting face scene for me.
The other scene... I think that always stands out to me, obviously, is the scene where the guy does all the sword tricks and
he just shoots him, which is because
Harrison Ford had diarrhea and he didn't want to do this whole routine that they had planned. He's like, just let me shoot him. And it was one of the most iconic scenes in an adventure movie. Rudy, you get back to back.
I do get back to back. So I will say I really only have seen 5 movies from total from this era.
No.
Perfect.
So my list is going to be abysmal, but I'll have to do my best. I'm a professional. So for my first pick, this was easy for me. I'm very glad that the ones I have seen are, I think, really good movies. So I'm going to go with my first pick is Caddyshack.
Oh, it's a great one.
Great pick.
I think it's one of the like funniest movies I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved, like, this sounds lame, but like the flow of the story is awesome. It's sort
vibes
of
movie.
The vibes are great. And it's like kind of just, I also like movies where they like will take a few minutes on a character that doesn't really mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like they go in a few different directions where it's like, this is not important to the story, but it made it for me, like it was like more realistic. Like everything now is like so driven by like this happens and then this has got to happen and this is like the stakes of it and this is why people should give a fuck. This one is just like, I felt like I was just observing a world. Like,
the funniest scene in the movie was written on basically on a napkin because they realized we never had a scene with Chevy Chase and Bill Murray together. So they just like scripted something and they did it that day.
Wait, which one are you talking about?
When Bill Murray, when Chevy Chase goes to Bill Murray's like house or his shack, whatever.
Yes.
And they're like, cannonball.
Yeah.
Like that whole scene was just like ad-lib basically because they realized, oh shoot, we never had these guys together.
Yeah, that's very funny. Yeah, and like the scene
great
where-
collection of casting, by the
way. Oh my, Rodney Dangerfield.
I think it's Dangerfield. Yeah. Easily best word.
They, and like that, it's like such like- It's just like it's not like the humor in it is just some about it, like the bowl of soup, like that one is just I mean, that's like some shit that like just like my dad would have said something like that, like, you know what I mean, like it's not that funny, but just like his delivery on it is so funny.
Ted Knight is a great bad guy.
When Dangerfield meets that old lady at the clubhouse, he goes, "Hey, I bet you were a real looker before electricity."
Yeah, exactly.
Dangerfield's delivery—that's a great point. That just the delivery. Rodney Dangerfield can deliver the worst joke in the world and make it sound funny just because his delivery was.
He's
so
great.
Good.
You said this is his best work. I know. Back to School is
Back
really
to School
funny.
Is so good. Funny.
I think pound for pound, like every punch he delivers in this,
it's pretty good.
The delivery is so good. And then like the scene, it's not even that funny, but like it just tickles me. The one where they're like playing the round and he's like, feel the ball, be the ball. And he has like an existential crisis. That I mean, everything about it is just, I don't know. I love that movie.
All right. What are you back to backing with?
Caddyshack 2.
That'd be very funny.
This is tough, actually. I kind of got to be strategic because I don't have a lot to pick from. So I almost want to go off the board just to save myself. But, oh, this is tough. I'm going to go, just so I at least look like somewhat of a film guy, I'm going to go Blade Runner.
Fuck, I was hoping I'd get that by the time I got back.
Blade Runner, I watched it in one of my,
Which version? Which version?
The
director's cut by Ridley Scott. Is what
he's the long
he's
one.
He's got a million cuts.
The long one.
Movie.
Ridley Scott's one of the ultimate director's cuts.
It's an ultimate edition.
The dopest one. That's the one I like.
Yes.
Yeah. but I watched it in one of my film classes, and I never would have been like, I'm not like watching this old shit. And then for class, we had to watch it, and I was like blown away. I was like, this is really amazing.
It's crazy how ahead of time that movie was, like in terms of the way it looked and
the blending of styles. Like it was just a really cool movie. And
was this guy named Sid Mead, who I think did like every major sci-fi movie from that era. He designed all the stuff for Blade Runner. He recently passed away, I think, like last year, but he was incredible. Everything he designed,
the costumes,
another Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford is in three of the first picks.
Yeah, so I got to go Blade Runner because that one is like,
I'm consistently bored by Blade Runner. I was bored when I saw it when I was a kid. Really? I'm still bored by it.
How do you feel about 2049? You probably
haven't seen it.
Too.
Didn't see it. Like I it's fine. It's okay. I don't have like a strong opinion either way on it.
It's about the essence of man.
Yeah, it's Rucker Hauer gives a great performance.
Rucker Hauer's awesome.
He's really good in that movie.
The who plays the girl?
Sean Young.
Yeah,
she's great.
She's good. It's fine.
Tears
in
the Rain is such a good scene.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I just, one of those things that people love it. And I've never come close to loving it. I like it moderately.
So Sid Mead, the guy, he did Star Trek, the motion picture, Blade Runner, Tron, Aliens. Time Cop, Johnny Mnemonic, which I like Johnny Mnemonic to this day. I don't think it was a great movie.
Oh, it's the worst we ever saw. I walked out of it. It's the only movie I ever walked out of. It is the worst we've ever seen.
You should watch it again because a lot of it doesn't hold up. A lot of it is kind of like, maybe they predicted stuff a little
15-year-old Chris walked out of the theater.
Keanu Reeves with a chip in his head.
But Dolph Lundgren.
Yes. Fucking George Lucas, the AT-AT is designed off Sid Mead art. So like almost every 80s thing. Yeah.
I always thought he kind of copped that off Jodorowsky's Dune.
Got it straight out of a Sid Mead futurist art group. But I think Blade Runner is a great back-to-back, I think, with this. And it's good art.
You look like a real film head.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because I watched it in film school. And for me, it was like more the visuals. Like, I was so blown away what they were able to do.
Yeah.
Like, with the visuals and everything. And, like, just the world setting was just so fucking dope. I would just watch, like, B-roll of that world.
Yeah.
Like I've gone to bars where they just had it playing with no sound just because the visuals are so stunning in it.
Yeah, it's for real. Like, it's so cool.
All right, Robbie, you're back up.
I'm going to go Airplane here. I've talked about that movie a lot. No, there's not a movie that delivers more jokes per minute than that movie. And the jokes hit. They're just funny. Like, it's just gag after gag after gag. Zucker banger. everyone's great. And you were on a big Leslie Nielsen kick recently. Yeah.
So watching all the Naked Gun movies, still crushing.
Crazy innovative, like Airplane, like that paved the way for all those Naked Gun. And then even like Loaded Weapon, if you remember that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a whole genre of films that stem from that.
Wrongfully accused. Yeah. So fun.
Scary movie, all those movies.
Yeah.
I mean, change comedy.
Yeah, it did.
I really have nothing else to say about
that. That was a great interview, David. Great.
He was very insightful. Zucker, just talking about like the way they wrote it and kind of like what like was going through their mind and
very by the seat of the pants.
The feedback they got on the initial scripts. Like that was a great interview to go back and find.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good pick. It was on my list as well. And this is where it gets a little tougher, I think, because like there's like the top tier of movies I really need to pick from. I'll take one of the most iconic. I'll take Terminator off the board. Terminator started off, I would say, for the most part, James Cameron's career. He is the baseline for what became an even better sequel in T2. I think I drafted T2 when we did the last
We didn't. No, that came out in the 90s.
Yeah, that's right. Early 90s. But Terminator 1, there are still moments from that I think are incredible because like it's fucking goofy, right? It's like a killer robot. It should be so stupid. But I think the Arnold is so fucking menacing in that movie, especially because he doesn't have to talk. He just says like five lines. All of them are iconic.
The perfect use of Arnold.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Him just gunning down that entire police station. Him being, I think this is one of the best things James Cameron did in this and in the second one, is just like the fear he's able to imprint on an audience of something that is chasing you that you cannot shake. Like, no matter how far you run, no matter where you go, it is constantly on your ass. And, like, I think that Arnold was, like, the perfect vehicle for that. Way better than being in, like, Conan the Barbarian or something where he has to do, like, depth tool performance.
Such a cool character entrance, too. Like, him coming out of that smoke naked. Like, it's so cool.
Beating the shit out of Bill Paxton.
Runs into the biker, steals his... Somehow has a leather jacket that's going to fit him. I always thought that was a little strange. I'm like, who would have a leather jacket?
I think that's T2 with the bikers, right?
No, I think it's T1.
He did the bikers in both?
No, he beats the shit out of the bikers. They're punks.
He beats the shit out of the punks. That's Bill Paxton with like his blue mohawk or whatever. And then I think he takes their.
I think I might be blending the two scenes together. In my
head. T2 intro scene is even cooler, I think, though, where he like beats the shit out of the bikers, stabs them, and like throws the guy in the grill or something, and then he takes his clothes. But Terminator, iconic sci-fi movie, much like Empire Strikes Back and Blade Runner. I feel like I just need to take it because it's one of my all-time favorites. Still think it rocks. The fucking massive Colt 45 with the laser on top.
That Colt 45 is sweet.
So cool. Man, I just love it. Clemmer, you get back-to-back?
I'm getting my number two pick. There was a deciding between. So that's going to be Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, yeah.
Just a movie that I just loved as a kid, still love now. I think it holds up really well. I think it's because it's not just a comedy maybe because it's just dealing with ghosts, which I guess will never go out of style or never be, you know, old fashioned, if you will. So like you watch it now, it's still funny. It still has
jokes that play really well for adults too.
Yeah, it does.
They snuck in, like, you know,
it wasn't for kids.
I mean,
it really was. It wasn't marketed.
Blow job from a ghost at one point.
Yeah, it was not meant. I mean, kids loved it. I loved it as a kid. Yeah. But it wasn't made for kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was made for adults. I didn't know that.
I always just assumed that it was
because it was
kids.
The '80s. It was. Back then, like, there weren't a lot of cartoons. Mm-hmm. Like, Disney was kind of in a nadir. Like, there were some American Tale, a couple other ones, but most of it was us seeing Goonies or Ghostbusters or my next pick, Karate Kid, which was always on cable, another HBO movie. Mm-hmm. Karate Kid is not the best movie. I still have other movies that are better movies, but for me emotionally, I have to pick Karate Kid. Like, I've seen it so many times. It means so much to me. Daniel Russo is a great character. I know they kind of like what the Cobra Kai thing.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. Season one was fine, but just if you just watch one in a vacuum, like you really care about this kid and the relationship with him and
follow up.
What's the actor's name?
Oh my god!
And now all I think of him is Daniel Russo. I forget his name. No, I know. It's something Italian.
Of course, Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio. His arc in Entourage.
Yeah, that's right.
So
wow,
funny.
What a pull. Karate Kid though is like an iconic 80s movie. Like,
it's a great movie and holds up. And you can rewatch it now and maybe it's a little slow at times, but not really for it. I think it holds up pretty well even in modern viewing.
Did you ever do karate?
No,
as a kid,
a lot of my friends did.
I saw the movie and did like I tried for karate classes. Did like five of them.
I did. I tried Tiger Foreman for a bit.
Yeah,
shout out Tiger Foreman.
It was so boring.
Yeah,
it seemed boring. That's why I never did it.
Yeah.
For my pick, I'm going to go with The Thing. One of my favorite horror movies ever. John Carpenter in his absolute bag. I think his one of the best things about John Carpenter ever as or just period as a director is his like dedication to doing really fucking creepy practical effects. Like the scene, and I think we talked, I did like a snake draft of horror movies with, it was like Richard Roper was in it and a couple other people. Like the scene where his hand, and we were talking about this, the scene where his hands go in the stomach and the stomach like opens up and takes them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the creepiest fucking things in the world. It crawling around all over the base. Kurt Russell delivering one of the best performances you'll ever see out of him.
Wilford Brimley's really good now.
Yeah, he's awesome in that movie. Oh, just perfectly paced horror movie. I think it's like, even out of this era from like mid-70s to late 90s, I think it's like the best horror movie out of that era. I think it's the one that scares me the most personally. Oof. And I think a lot of that has to do with just like...
It's like the isolation, the cabin fever.
Yeah, like, the isolation, like just the creature design is so good. And just like, again, the practical effects of so like being so present in that. Just there's something so much scarier to me about... Like whatever, it could be claymation, or it could be like some weird plastic bullshit. But like that is so much scarier than me than anything you can make a CGI.
Oh, I agree.
Ever. So I have to go with the thing, one of my favorite horror movies ever made.
Great fit movie. They're throwing some absolute. Kurt Russell throws some absolute fits in there.
Oh yeah.
The sunglass. The one with the sunglasses. Those sunglasses.
Where he's got the sides on it.
Yeah. Oh, great. Great. That was my next pick. Fuck. All right. Let me decide what I'm going to go here. Easy pick for me. It feels like an underrated movie. I think it won like 6 Oscars, but I'm going to go Amadeus.
Oh, yeah, very great movie. I think it is. Great movie.
Yeah, the best musical biopic of all time, if you want to call it that.
Wow. All That Jazz is better than we call that a biopic. I guess it's technically a fictional character. Mm.
Yeah, so it has to be a biopic.
I don't think I've seen it. I don't.
Oh, it's 79. It's amazing. But I mean, I'm not going to. Amadeus is great.
Amadeus, yeah. So Amadeus, F. Murray Abraham as Salieri. Mm-hmm. Fucking brilliant. What's his face from?
Tom Hulce.
Yeah, Tom Hulce from Animal House. Brilliant as well. Very funny at points.
Mm-hmm.
For a movie that's almost 3 hours long, you don't really feel it. You don't feel it at all. Especially even though it's about classical music, like it kicks and the music's great. And I mean, it's Mozart. So
how great is Migos Forman? Like Amadeus, One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yep.
People vs. Larry Flint. I really love Man on the Moon. Like, he's directed so many great movies.
He doesn't really get brought up when you talk about the all-time greats either.
He does. Yeah. And Amadeus is a fantastic
movie. Yeah. I really love that movie. And I'll endlessly recommend it to people. Because like I said, for some reason, a movie that just doesn't get brought up a ton in like present day, even though it's one of the biggest Oscar winners of all time.
Mm-hmm. That is a really good
one. One of the best picture winners, too, of all time.
Mm-hmm. Rudy.
Clemmer, what were you two, your two picks back-to-back last
time? Ghostbusters and Karate Kid.
Okay, so I haven't seen... The only one of the last four picks I've seen is Ghostbusters.
Dude, watch. You've
never seen Karate Kid?
Wow.
I have not seen Karate Kid.
No, really? No. Wow, that's surprising.
You seen The Shining? You seen my number one pick?
I have seen not the whole thing in one sitting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I am very familiar with The Shining. It's fucking awesome. So I'm going to go with... what I would consider like a cult classic, and also once again my knowledge base is remarkably limited, but this movie is fucking awesome. And once again, it was one of those ones where my brother and my sister were like, we're watching this, and I saw when it was made and I was like, are you guys fucking for real right now? Like, this is gonna suck. And I was blown away by it. And it's Spinal Tap.
This is Spinal Tap. Yeah, great pick.
Spinal Tap is I'll be honest, I
thought Spinal Tap came out in like 1993.
It feels like one of those movies. Yeah,
it's surprising how old it is, and I'm sure it's been done before, but I was blown away because I didn't know that people were doing the mockumentary style back then. I was like, oh, like The Office is like 30 years late on this. But there's just, it's one of those, the same thing as Caddyshack, where like the subtlety of the humor is so funny, like the drummer constantly dying in like new different ways, like he died in a gardening accident, the speakers going up to 11, like everything about it I thought was just so funny. And also I was stoked because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be so cool now because I can tell people about Spinal Tap.
Yeah,
like I'll be like the cool kid that knows about an old funny movie.
Just watch like Best in Show and like the other guest stuff. I feel like you'd like those.
Rob Reiner directed Spinal Tap, one of the first movies directed. You know, look at the career he had. So
exactly.
Yeah, so Spinal Tap's my pick. I love that movie.
All right, and you have back-to-back. So.
Oh, shit. Fuck.
This is usually me.
Shout out to Carl Reiner, too.
Carl, really great going one. Way back.
I have...
Rob Reiner did...
A Few Good Men?
Yeah, A Few Good Men, but he did My Middle Name from this movie. Stand By Me, right?
Yeah, of course.
Did? Yeah. My middle name is Gordon because
did Misery,
my parents
too.
Liked...
Oh, really?
My parents really liked Stand By
Gordo,
Me.
Gordo, yeah. Will Wheaton action, huh?
Yeah, they really liked him.
Yeah. Okay. This to me. I gotta go Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fuck you. These are good picks, man.
Fuck you.
Another one where I first time I saw it once again was like, no way, this old ass movie is gonna be good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very funny. Kind of just, I mean, there's something about the charm of like those like high school movies when they're done well, like Superbad.
Yeah.
It's like incredibly hard to encapsulate that kind of humor, but everyone sort of lived it for the most part, I imagine, that like in high school, it's like the hardest you laugh with your friends.
Yeah.
It's kind of sophomoric, but then there's like, they're able to capture the like angst of it very well. And like the different like weird characters, like coming of age,
booby scene.
Booby scene was all
iconic
time.
I mean, the most iconic booby scene ever.
Yeah.
How that was made was interesting. So Cameron Crowe pretended to be a high schooler. He went and basically studied high school. He wrote the script.
Yeah.
Amy Heckerling directed it. Obviously, Cameron Crowe went on to be a director for Jerry Maguire and things like that. But
yeah.
He was so he really understood high school, what the kids were saying back then, how they were acting, because he lived with them. It's a great way to make a movie.
Yeah, and that's interesting because nowadays, whenever they try to make any movie that's like, let's make the young kids like it, they're like remarkably out of touch.
Big time.
Like remarkably out of touch. And it's difficult. I almost don't even know if you could do it nowadays because like everything is like current.
So fast.
It's like very current. Like the culture moves so fast. So like you almost can't even do things. And then the problem is that people are so like in tune now where they're like, oh, if you even use the right slang, it comes off as like cringy and derivative. Yeah. So it's like very difficult to do now. But back then it was just great. I mean, like Spicoli's character is amazing. Like his job, like working as a waiter and wearing the stupid fucking outfit. Like that's such a, like a universal, like high school kid thing where it's like, you have this job and you have to dress like a fucking idiot.
All the Judge Reinhold stuff is so perfect. Yeah. Like, you know, you feel what he's going through and.
Yeah. I mean, it's just awesome. I love that movie.
Mr. Hand.
Yeah.
Gosh. Fantastic pick.
Oh, God, I've been fucking snubbed twice.
Yeah, you sniped him twice.
Well, you sniped me and then he sniped me.
True.
This might be a round early, but I'm going to take it because I'm worried Klimmer is going to take it. I'm going to go The Natural.
It's on my list, but not that high up.
It's my second favorite
baseball movie.
Yeah, second favorite baseball movie. Robert Redford, he's good in everything. Glenn Close, Robert Duvall. Fucking fantastic movie. Hitting the lights. What an iconic scene. Cool. It's just so cool every time. You want to get out of, like, I remember the first time I saw it, I think I literally jumped out of my chair.
That's one of the few ones where they showed in-game action and it looked, like, cool.
Yeah. Actually, they were having this discussion and it hasn't come out yet. Do you think it would have been better with real teams? Because he's playing for, what is it?
Yeah. The Gotham Knights.
Gotham Knights.
Yeah.
And I don't think it really affects the movie at all.
I don't think so either.
Like it's
Brandon was making the argument that it did.
Brandon
been
wanted it to be like the Yankees, which I was supposed to be.
But you notice
I feel like it's such a fantasy anyway. Like Roy Hobbs, fantastical character.
People get pissed then if you make it a real team because then they're going to be like, oh, where's Reggie Jackson in here? Like they'll be like, where are these people that are in this? People get more mad the more real you make it, I feel like.
How they do it, especially where it's such like a fantasy, it's obviously not. You could argue he died, like this whole theory where he died when he was shot by Barbara Hershey's character, and it's all kind of a fever dream or which. That's a cool thing about Natural and how it's shot is that you can kind of take it two different ways. So it makes rewatching it more pleasurable.
I'll have to go back and actually watch it like that.
Yeah.
What would you guess my favorite baseball movie is? Because this is number two.
Oh. Oof. I would say for you, probably Bull Durham.
No.
Really?
It's Mr. 3000.
Oh my God.
I'm fucking with you. It's Moneyball, but like.
Oh, all right. No, that's a great one. That's what we're doing. The very first episode is we cover that on the show with Brandon. So.
But I actually do really like Mr. 3000.
Okay. Yeah.
It's very funny.
It's fine. It's fine. Someone said it's the worst movie ever made, which
that's
I think is like, true. That's a horrible take.
Yeah.
It's a fine movie. It's fine.
No.
It's not even close.
Bernie Mac doesn't have. Bernie Mac will not be involved with the worst movie ever made.
No. I think that was probably done for clickbait because that's a horrible take.
All right. My pick. I will go with. I don't have really any comedy on here, so I'm going to go with the Blues Brothers. Blues Brothers, one of the funniest movies I think I've ever seen. One of the great themes, awful sequel. And you ever see Blue Brothers 2000?
Seen both.
The worst movies ever.
Yes.
But Blues Brothers 1, the whole.
I remember my dad went and saw that movie when I was a kid. It's just so fucking bad.
It's terrible.
It's tough.
But the first Blues Brothers, so funny. So many great moments. The sort of chemistry between them, or it's just like, it's one of those things almost like with, almost like with like Chevy Chase and Rodney and like Caddy. I'm trying to think of compared to other ones we've already had on here, but just such great chemistry between them.
Oh, I mean, they had worked together on SNL from 75, 79.
You know what a good comp would be? Gosling and Crow and Nice
yeah,
Guys.
Kind of like that. Yeah.
I would say, I mean, this they were together on a show for 4 years. They were best friends. They had done 1941 already. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they were so close. Yeah. These guys loved each other.
Yeah.
You know, that chemistry is unmatched.
It's so hard to beat.
It's better than, and I love Farley and Spade. It's better than that even. Like, their love for each other.
The I think my favorite scene is still, and I remember watching this movie with my dad, the car pileup scene with
it's
the
incredible.
Cops. It's so fucking funny every single time.
The scene with the cars in the mall, it's like a legit action sequence.
Yeah. Oh, man. I need the comedy on the board, so I got to go there. But Clemmer.
Okay, so I get two here? Or?
You get your last two picks.
Okay. Well, I'm getting five of my top six, so that's the only one Empire Strikes Back I'm not able to get. But my next pick is going to be E.T. First movie I ever saw in the theaters.
Ooh.
You don't like E.T.?
Fuck that freak.
You don't like E.T.? He's a nice creature.
He's a creep.
Why is he a creep?
Those fingers.
What? Fingers are weird.
I have weird fingers. I mean, I'm a bad person.
His face.
I have a weird face. I mean, I'm a bad person.
Yeah, but you don't have the long neck.
You don't look like my penis. Yeah. E.T. looks like my penis.
E.T. is so lovable.
It's bulbous.
I love E.T.
Brought Reese's Pieces on the map.
He did?
Eminem's fucked up on that one big time.
It's a great movie. I think the pacing might be a little slow maybe for modern audiences, but...
Great score.
Awesome great score from John Williams.
Henry Thomas is a great job.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore's very good. You care about, I know maybe you don't, but especially, it's hard to explain, maybe if you had to kind of be there kind of thing, maybe with it, but like, you loved E.T. E.T. was just love. And when he was sick, I remember crying. Because I was three when
his little fucking blanket.
I was three when I saw it.
Yeah.
In the theaters. And it was like incredible. As I said, it's the first movie I saw in the theater. So it was incredible. Like, I remember it. It was such a wild experience.
Yeah.
And then it was one of those ones that were on cable all the time. And you kind of grew up with it. I had an E.T. stuffed animal. Like,
great cinematic experience, too, as far as like the way it's shot.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. So that's an easy one. And my next one is I'm leaving so much off the board here. This is tough. Now, Mad those four are my top four. Yeah. That's like my Mount Rushmore of this. I guess I'll go with Poltergeist.
Great pick.
Of course, Steven Spielberg probably directed this. It's credited to Tobe Hooper. Mm-hmm. He was on set all the time. Actors have said that he really directed this. I think it's the best, other than The Shining, the best scary movie of the 80s. It's also PG, which is wild that it can still be that scary. And the ending is just fantastic. It builds to a climax. It earns the ending. I don't know. Poltergeist to me is great.
I have the thing right above it, but like Poltergeist is like right there. It's like
The Shining is the best horror movie.
Yeah, that's probably the best of all time.
Maybe like, of all time.
My
period.
Favorite, I guess.
Yeah, Poltergeist is one, but I'm leaving a ton of stuff. We'll talk about it later. I'm guessing you guys won't pick because I'm an old man. But
all right, for mine, there's a lot on the board. There's movies where like they're the better movie, but I'd rather pick a different one. I'm really struggling between.
80s is kind of the king of that, right?
I know. Yeah,
where it's like there's a lot of good movies that maybe weren't technically the best made, but just endlessly entertaining.
I'll go with one that is both a good movie and iconic to this beginning of the 80s era in First Blood. First Blood, OG Rambo. I think not only is Sylvester Stallone amazing in it, I think he's like really good in the action sequences, but also as like the PTSD veteran guy as well. But also, it was Brian Dennehy.
Yes.
So good movie. Just a perfect menacing dickhead cop. Like perfect at that role. I think all him setting all the traps, like that just activates like the Home Alone part of your brain. Seeing dudes set traps and seeing people fall into said traps is just something really cool about it. Really love that.
Why you pushing me?
Yeah, exactly. Why you could push me? The fucking scene with the M60 in the supermarket. Like,
yes.
Just so cool until it devolved into Rambo helping the Taliban out, which was probably not great in Rambo 3. Yeah, that's when it got a little off the rails. But first Rambo, awesome, awesome movie before it. Again, devolved into something else. Gooch.
There's another Rambo that came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was actually like okay for what it was, if that makes sense. There's a scene, it's like him in Vietnam.
I heard it was really fucking gory, right?
Super gory.
Yeah.
Really? He has like a 50 cal. He's just like,
I think I heard it was really gory and I was just like, I don't care enough.
Very gory.
Oh, yeah. I'm up. I'm going to pick, I assuming, the only animated feature that's going to be selected. Not a great period for animated films, but. The one I do have is, I think, timeless, and it's Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind.
Great
which
pick.
Is
it's on my list.
Not a Ghibli film, but did kick off Studio Ghibli in a way. I can never say his name right. Miyazaki, I can't say his first name right, but his first feature film, fucking fantastic, kind of just a preview of things to come. Not my favorite Ghibli movie, but it's definitely top 5, top 3. has all the same elements that all of his movies have: environmentalism, anti-war, princess with, you know, who can play a bad princesses. He loves them. She's a badass too. And it's like, it's kind of like watching, it's like Dune, if Dune was animated. Yes. Like, it's really cool, futuristic, apocalyptic Earth. I love that movie. Great score, like, too.
Awesome score. There's elements of like all of his other stuff too, like My Neighbor Totoro, Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away. Like, you could see elements of all those movies in
the story. Yeah, I mean, he's just a genius. I mean, he is the goat of animation.
Mm-hmm. Rudy, your last pick.
This is the end it, right?
Yes.
Well, lucky for me, I made it through without any of the movies I've seen being picked. We were getting down to the wire.
You haven't seen any of the ones we recently picked at all?
Nope.
You haven't seen
Poltergeist or E.T.?
I did see E.T. I have not seen any Rambos, not seen Poltergeist. I do want to watch Poltergeist, though.
Really, what good about like Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, I have some hot takes about those Star Wars. I'd find them to be very bad.
Oh
keep
no.
That to yourself.
Yeah, very bad.
There's a lot of those people in this office.
Yeah.
That think the sequel trilogy is better than the...
That's
crazy.
They are. They're objectively...
No,
the plot is better.
Do you mean the prequel trilogy?
No, he means the sequel trilogy.
I mean Phantom Menace. I think...
Oh, okay. I've had to deal with a lot of the younger... Like the... Because we have so many fucking like... 21-year-olds that work in this office. Who do just think the sequel trilogy is just far better.
I like the Phantom Menace whole era because it actually has a plot that makes sense. Like, the fact that they do... Death Star 2 is just so fucking stupid and so lazy. It's like, oh.
They do Death Star 3 in the sequel trilogy.
I know. I think those are even worse. At least in the first three, they actually are Jedis and do Jedi shit. For six movies, they're like, nah, man, we shouldn't be Jedis. Let's just sit and talk about it.
He doesn't know how to be a Jedi because all the Jedi are dead.
I get that. But like, there are Jedis there that know.
It's only Yoda. He's the only one. He's the only Jedi left on Earth.
It's just, it's literally like, it's quite literally just edging. It's like, bro, like, what if we actually like used our lightsabers?
But then that's the crutch of the prequel trilogy, where it's like, we're going to give you as many lightsabers as possible as zero character development to back it up.
Zero character development? Dude, he falls in love and then realizes that the only way he can join the dark side is to save his wife.
And that's like, think about this, man. I'm sure, Clemmer, you would agree with this too. And you, Robbie, like, all of that build up from the original trilogy is to be like, hey, the moment that you're going to get in this prequel trilogy is of the Vader turning into Vader, of Anakin turning into Vader. That's the moment. That's going to be the biggest moment in the world. And they kind of fucked it. Like, it wasn't what it could have been at all. Like, that
what do
was,
you mean? Like, it, when he puts when, on the, at the very end, when
dumb
he,
silly. When
him turning evil, he just goes there. He, like,
what? Whoa!
He pushes Samuel L. Jackson out a window, and he's like, oh, I'm evil now. Like, it's just like,
no, that. He was building up to that because he was getting courted, and he's like, man, I don't really want to do this, but I love Natalie Portman.
And he kills all the
yeah,
women,
but that's,
yeah, children.
But that's the point. He cuts off Mace Windu's arm, and then he's like, I'm ready to genocide children now. Like, that was the flip. Like, there was no build up, no like really good. Like,
I disagree with that.
Maybe the worst dialogue in any movie.
I agree with Rudy in that the story. I do like the storylines from the. I like the elements there. I think you have a very valid point that the fucking dialogue was dog shit.
Awful dialogue. Bad two CGI.
We're talking about Star Wars, dude.
Yeah, the Star Wars trilogy has good dialogue.
In general.
The original one has good dialogue.
It does. It has some, right. It has much more natural stuff. Those movies are bad.
No, they're not. Call me crazy. First of all, at least they explain how the world works. Like, there's a trade federation. Okay, at least now I know how things move about the fucking galaxy.
That's the opening crawl of the first one, is like, there's a tax dispute.
Right.
And that is why you're watching a Star Wars movie right now, over a tax dispute.
Yeah, it makes sense. And the other ones, it makes perfect. At least they explain like the world we live in. And also, I just like, call me crazy, I like lightsaber fights.
No, they're good, and they have them in all three
for like 30 seconds.
But they're there, and they're more meaningful
in 480p. In the prequel trilogy, they're going silly on the lightsaber.
But that's what I'm saying. The meaning behind a Luke and Vader fight is so much more than seeing Coleman Trevor, the CGI alien, fighting the CGI clone trooper. Like, it's just not. It's not there. It's like that doesn't match up. Or like, fucking dude. Palpatine even killing all those other Jedi alongside Mace Windu with like one hit.
Yoda fighting in the Senate chamber.
Cool scene.
That was dope.
Dude.
He's jumping over the little hover thing.
Count Dooku fight scene.
That was okay. Count Dooku saber was so sick.
His saber was awesome. Their fight scene in Attack of the Clones was like, I don't know.
Yeah, and they explain the stormtroopers. Thanks.
What, clone troopers?
Yeah, appreciate it.
Clone troopers and stormtroopers, technically different things.
But at least they explain some shit.
But that's part of, I think, the mystery of the original trilogy of stuff is like kind of entertaining in its own way.
It is. Also, think of the world building the first three did. Like, yeah. It was nothing. It went from nothing to what we have in those three movies, which all those characters were introduced to, all the entire world. What the first one did is a remarkable achievement. And I really, Empire Strikes Back is a more entertaining movie. Return of Jedi kind of stinks. And I saw it in the theaters. But ESB and the original are just unequivocally
I'm a New Hope guy, to be honest.
Yeah, I am too.
So I like the original one the best.
I like the third one from not as much as the first two at all, but like the Endor fight scene I think is so cool. That whole sequence I really like. The ambushes, little. It's so weird because they have like these fucking teddy bears running all over the place. Yeah. But like other than that, it's good fight scenes. Wait, but Rudy, what's your last pick?
My last pick is Scarface.
That's a great pick.
I was wondering if it was going to get taken. I could hear the Instagram commenters typing.
Yeah.
I could hear no fucking Scarface.
Yeah. I only have two movies I can pick from that I've seen, and it was Children of the Corn and Scarface.
Children of the Corn
is cool.
Scary movie.
It's cool. But like, I couldn't just not pick Scarface. It's a really cool movie. The acting is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's got iconic scenes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, basically the basis for Vice City, Grand Theft Auto.
Yes. Oliver Stone almost died writing the script for that movie because he was like tailing along with Colombian cartels to get the information to write on.
I thought you were going to say he was doing so much cocaine.
He was definitely doing a lot of cocaine.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
The chainsaw scene. It's just a good flick.
Oliver Stone really likes us.
Really?
Yeah, we interviewed him once and like he told his publicist after, he's like, oh, that was so much fun.
Interesting guy.
Never did this again.
But yeah, you can make a case he was the best director of the 80s. You can make that argument. Like he might have been the screenwriter of that time. He won multiple Oscars for screenwriting. Yeah. And obviously he wrote this. He didn't direct it up. Brian De Palma did.
Yeah.
But
Brian De Palma, I also love. I'm a sucker for Brian De Palma movies.
He's hit or miss for me. Untouchables is great.
I love Untouchables.
Great movie. His best.
The scene where that fucking baby carriage is coming down the stairway.
Incredible. And the score is great. Yeah. The Morricone score. Scarface is fantastic. Yeah. Great Michelle Pfeiffer performance. She's so cold. Yes. And Pacino is doing too much, but he's supposed to be doing too much. It's part of it. It's a really entertaining movie.
So our teams are Clemmer has The Shining, Ghostbusters, Karate Kid, E.T., Poltergeist, I have Empire Strikes Back, The Terminator, The Thing, Blues Brothers, and First Blood. Robbie, you have Raiders of the Lost Ark, Airplane, Amadeus, The Natural, Nausicaa, and The Valley of the Wind. Rudy, you have Caddyshack, Blade Runner, Spinal Tap. Fast Times, and Scarface. And some of the ones off the board for me, at least, Das Boot, I think is one of the best international movies I've seen, but it's like not.
Never seen that. I was looking through movie rankings and I saw that up there. I was like, what is that?
The name value's not there, but it's like one of the best. It's if you've seen the original Dune, right? This guy, Jurgen Prochow, who played he played Duke Leo Atreides in the original Dune. Really good actor.
Supposed to be Sean Connery part in Red Hunt for October. He got fired.
That's right.
We did leave Raging Bull off.
Raging Bulls, and it was next on there. Evil Dead, Thief. Thief, I really struggled not to take.
Raging Bull feels like a 70s movie. I don't know why.
It does. Scorsese and De Niro. It's black and white. I mean, it's
Videodrome, Scanners. Escape from New York, I also really struggled with. I love Escape from New York. And Red Dawn. Red Dawn, I think, is another perfectly 80s movie. And I will go watch that movie a million times. It's not the best, but I love watching it. It's just one of those things like, oh, that could be me. I dare you, Rush, come invade. Me and my brothers would be fucking digging holes. That was what me and our brothers would think when we were watching it. We'd be digging foxholes and fighting against you guys. Were there any off the board for you guys?
I had a ton. Yeah, King of Comedy, which is tough me not to take.
Damn.
Maybe the best Paul Newman performance, The Verdict. Mm-hmm. Gremlins, which was one of those movies I saw 8 million times when I was a kid. Rocky 3, which is just a fun movie. Vacation. Mm-hmm. The Dead Zone, which is a really good Stephen King adaption. David Cronenberg, it's really good. Beverly Hills Cop, which is just fun.
Oh, yeah.
Superman 2. And this movie is probably the movie I saw the most as a kid. It's on HBO all the time. Never Ending Story.
Oh, that movie. Fuck. You didn't like the dogs dying, but you were watching Atreus or whatever?
Breaks me, man. That's such a sad... The horse dies.
Yeah, was it Atreus or something?
Yeah, Atreus, yeah.
Yeah,
Atreus. And then he finds that cool, like...
The dragon.
Yeah, that guy's cool. He's got a cool face, you know? But Never Ending Story was on all the time. But yeah, McCain Comedy, Verdict, Gremlins, Rocky 3. Those are tough misses for me.
It's great picks, though. Any of yours?
Really? Not too much. I mean, 16 Candles, fucking love. I mean, John Hughes. I like everything John Hughes. History of the World Part 1.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie.
Well, yeah.
They're doing the part 2 on Hulu soon.
Really fucking funny movie. God, I just saw your score for A Christmas Story. Fucking ridiculous.
This guy loves to hate on Christmas Story.
Christmas Story sucks.
It's a totally fine movie.
Christmas Story sucks.
Mad Max 2. Mad Max 2 is great. Yeah, but outside of that, I mean,
have you guys seen The Verdict?
Yes, but I was
not see The Verdict. Paul Newman's incredible performance.
I love these drafts because it gives me a Paris, Texas.
Paris, Texas.
That's a great movie.
King of Comedy is very good. If you haven't seen that, watch that too.
That's an awesome movie.
You getting Scorsese and De Niro again after Raging Bull?
That's right. Yeah. Rudy and you only had Children of the Corn off the list.
Yeah, the only other one that just outside the parameters, because it was 85, was the Goonies.
Oh, of course, yeah. That hit our draft the last time. Yeah,
yeah. So I was like, oh, that's definitely going to be in there. And I saw 85. I was like, fuck. I mean, that's probably one of my top 10 movies of all time.
That is fun. That's
mostly
a great
like
movie.
Obviously sentimental value. Mm-hmm. I feel like that movie is specifically made for like. Perfect for middle school, like young kid. It's just so perfect.
It was awesome. Came out when I was 5, and it was quoted constantly my entire childhood. Right. Like, it was just the perfect movie for a 5-year-old boy. So we didn't have cartoons. We had Goonies. Yeah. We had, you know, like I said, Ghostbusters. That, you know, Back to the Future. Those are the movies that we had. We didn't have cartoons.
Yeah. Just cool live action. I think the Pacific Northwest type of feel to Goonies.
Everything
too.
About it was cool. Yeah. It was literally Uncharted before Uncharted.
Oh, everything about that movie is awesome. Even I forget who played the old lady in Goonies, but she was really good.
Oh my God, she's in Draw Mama from the Train.
Yeah,
Anne Ramsey is her name.
Yeah, she was amazing.
She's very good.
The cast is interesting. Josh Brolin, guy from Everything Everywhere All
Jamie Kwan. Sean Astin. One of the Corey fucking whatever his name was, right?
Corey Feldman. Yeah, he's also in Gremlins.
I don't know who played Chunk, but
yeah, I forget his name.
Shit, yeah.
And then Sloth was a guy named Matuzik, who was an NFL player, and he died, I think, shortly after that. He was good.
Yeah.
That role was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Joe Pantoliano is one of the bad guys. One of Mama's sons, along with Robert Davey, who was in an NBC show. You'd recognize his face if you saw it. Davi.
Holy shit. Yeah, you weren't kidding.
Yeah. The cast is really interesting. It's a really interesting cast. Richard Donner directed it. Yeah. Who, of course, directed Superman 1 and 2, directed Lethal Weapon, and directed Goonies.
Joe Pantoliano. Wow. I did not put that together.
Yeah.
Old Cypher himself. Ignorance is bliss. But that's our draft. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, cast of characters, whatever. And look forward to our episode on Monday. And listen to The Bracket.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
You should be. Meet the new Lucky One sweet tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026.
So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
Outshine is the number one frozen fruit bar brand in America. And once you try them, it's easy to see why. Their fruit bars and mini fruit pops are made with real fruit or fruit juice using simple ingredients you can pronounce. That means no high fructose corn syrup and no artificial colors or flavors. Outshine bars are gluten-free and even a good source of vitamin C. And the flavor lineup? It's stacked. We're talking strawberry, mango, coconut, watermelon, pineapple, cherry, you name it, there's something for whatever you're craving. You've got classic fruit bars, mini fruit pops, and fruit blends that swirl multiple flavors together. Think pina colada, cherry limeade, and more. Find your new favorite refreshing snack, Outshine, at retailers nationwide.